For North Korea, getting the attention of the world is literally rocket science. A missile launch over the weekend brought a quick response in the UN Security Council.
The price the North Korean leadership will pay for its continued nuclear and missile development will be the loss of one-third of its exports and hard currency. This is the most stringent set of sanctions on any country in a generation.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley speaking on Saturday as the U.N. Security Council, including China and Russia, voted unanimously to approve new economic sanctions. Is the goal of the U.S. drafted sanctions to cut North Korea's $3 billion export revenue by a third strong enough? Stephen Nerper is a senior director with the Korea Society and an adjunct professor at Columbia University.
The biggest concern really has to do with the pacing of their technology and improvements in their nuclear and their missile capabilities. So things are happening very fast, and they have developed a much longer range for their missiles. They seem to be making progress on other fronts. And the big question mark is, are they able to miniaturize? Can they put a nuclear payload at the tip of that missile? Can it withstand reentry? And it seems that they're going in that direction. And the fear is that that may be the case by next year.
And the important thing to note is that what they're doing now, 5 to 10 years ago, we sort of assumed they would never be able to,
right.
to do.
We never fathomed that. No one thought that they would be able to get this far, especially because there have been 8 rounds of sanctions that have been put in place designed to curtail that. And the North Koreans continue to surprise us. In 2010, they surprised us with centrifuges. In the last year now, they have tested twice nuclear, and they have tested missiles over 24 times in 2016, multiple times this year. The problem is they're showing improvements in rocket thrust and other capabilities.
So the joke era on Kim Jong-un is over, and the question of do sanctions actually work is a serious question posed even despite the activity at the Security Council.
Well, that's right, John. Do they work and do we have enough time for them to work? Because the rapidity of the improvements in technology mean that the threat is growing. And they do have the capability, it appears now with this July 4th and July 28th test, to at least put the United States within range. So they've got the distance thing figured out. The accuracy, that's another question, but it's a very serious threat. And so the Security Council resolutions are designed to curtail that. Is there enough time for them to take effect?
And we can say sanctions, schmanctions with the particular wording in the Security Council, but I was really struck by the forthrightness and candor of the Chinese representative in the Security Council. How did you assess that?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. I think China stepped up. They have co-sponsored the last 2 rounds of resolutions. This is the 3rd set of resolutions in 18 months, but these have the most serious teeth to them. And they also have Russian backing as well. So they hit North Korea at some very key places, including exports. And the estimate is that they'll affect one-third of North Korean exports, over $1 billion.
Now, in a country that is run like, some have said a concentration camp, what would be the signs? What would be the indications that sanctions are working, that the sting is enough for the government to alter its behavior on this question of missile development and nuclear program?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing we would see is probably North Korea agreeing to come to the negotiating table, which is exactly what they're intended to do. There are other possibilities of things that would signal growing instability or disenchantment on the economic front, restive behavior in the marketplaces, reports of action among people, or perhaps the elite acting more. There has been a widespread purge that's taken place since Kim Jong-un's been in.
Do we have the intelligence capability to monitor those factors that you've described?
Well, U.S. and South Korean intelligence does their best, but we don't have senior-level contacts to the degree that one would like. And so part of the idea is how to read North Korea, and that's a continued process for a lot of analysts who take a look daily at what's happening.
And the read has totally changed. I can remember David Sanger from the New York Times. Mm-hmm. So who's covered North Korea for years and years and years on this program, saying that the routine is old school, that the North Koreans try to get the West's attention. They do, and then they get some sort of economic benefit from it. They get some reward for curtailing bad behavior that they did for a while. It seems like the pattern has radically changed now.
Well, it's radically changed in that they have reached a level, especially with this newer leader he's been in since 2012, Kim Jong-un, that they are expressing a level of confidence. And their confidence, their attitude is one where that doesn't look like they're rushing for talks to the with the United States, nor do they seem to care as much about the international community. They're a pretty small entity that is very inward-looking, and it's a totalitarian regime. They've managed to survive a lot, including a famine in the 1990s. So that's another aspect of the sanctions. Can they bite enough for a regime that's recalcitrant and isolated?
Broadly, looking at the behavior of Kim Jong-un, do you believe his mission is simply to gain a kind of global attention? It doesn't necessarily seem as though he wants to destabilize the Korean Peninsula, which would be another very, very serious military mission.
Right. And destabilizing the peninsula would mean bringing the Chinese in. It would mean major power conflict. So what he's probably trying to do, right, is to gain legitimacy both in the eyes of his own population as well as in from the international community. And so going nuclear is how he feels he can do that. And he feels that the stakes are high and that the Americans will pay to some degree to get to the table, and that once they're at the table, they can negotiate a peace regime, which ultimately means their desire to see the Americans off of the Korean Peninsula and ultimately still in their doctrine to reunite Korea under North Korean leadership, which is a very different way than the world sees it.
Stephen Nerber is senior director with the Korea Society and an adjunct professor at Columbia University. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.